This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Right, tonight we're on Daf Nun Vov Amud Aleph in the Masech Tesecha. And we've got quite a challenge before us tonight. We're dealing with familiar concepts, but there's an element of difficulty in it. So I'm going to do my best to take you through it. Ideally, you should know the Gemara really well already. So that's not possible. Even those who've learned the Daf Yomi probably don't know it that well. So I'm going to try and take you through it in a way that you'll be able to get the flow of it quite clearly. What we're working with here is the idea that scarcity creates value. If there's no scarcity, there's no value. Something which is of unlimited supply has no value to it. There's only value when there's a scarcity, when you've got to make choices. That's really what value is. And it's commercial value is that, and non-commercial value is that, and values is that. Values is when you have to make choices. If you don't have to make a choice, there aren't values entailed. So, in a kind of a way, honesty isn't really a value. Because everybody's honest. Everybody believes in honesty. Honesty is only a value when you've got to make a choice. Do I tell the truth on my tax returns or do I not? And there's $1 million difference between the two, and I'll never get caught because it's kind of a white lie. Or that. Now you've got to make choices. There's values. It only becomes a value when you have to choose one thing over another and attach more value to one thing than another. So if you decide to fill out your tax form honestly and pay the $1 million, you are placing honesty above $1 million as a value. That's what value means. You're making a choice. You're putting this above that. Time, we've been talking about time, introduces value to speech. You might remember the little piece in Amadeus. Remember the movie? Where he makes the point that in speech you can't hear two people speaking at the same time, but in music you can. In music it creates harmony. And he shows, and one voice comes, and the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and it gets more and more magnificent. And you hear the whole thing. And those can be saying different things on those. You can have an opera with different things being said, and it just makes it more and more majestic. Whereas in speech, that destroys it. The fact that you can't say two things at once means you've got to choose which to say first. And sometimes you've got to choose which to say and which not to say. That's values. If you could say everything at the same time, there would be no value in speech, because you could say everything. The fact that you can only say one thing at a time means there's a value. So whether you say ladies and gentlemen or gentlemen and ladies is a value statement, because you can't say that at the same time. So you either say guys, and then you explain that by guys you mean men and women, and everybody says you can say it all at the same time. You say people, or if you're going to say ladies and gentlemen, then there's a value statement. So, and if you're addressing a function and you say rabbonim, ladies and gentlemen, well, value statement. If you say, if you're benching, you say bereshus and balabais and akonim, or akonim and balabais. Once you have to choose an order, you're making a value statement, because you can't say it all at the same time. What the value statement is, I'm not judging the value statement. I'm just saying there is a value statement once you prioritize one thing above another. And that's one of the ideas we're going to be working with, that there are times where you can't do two mitzvahs simultaneously, particularly when they're speech related, such as brochas, and you've got to make a decision which comes first. And that decision entails a value statement. And we're going to be working with some of those value statements. And there are three areas of halacha that we're going to be looking at. The one is when Shabbos falls on Shavuos, when Shavuos falls on a Shabbos, there are two items of bread that the Kohanim eat. One is the Shtei Halechem of Shavuos. On Shavuos we bring two loaves of bread. But on every Shabbos we bring the Lechem Aponim, 12 loaves, matzahs actually, of Lechem Aponim. Every Shabbos on the Beis HaMikdash they used to be put out 1 week, and then they used to remain on the Shulchan until the following Shabbos, and they used to be eaten the following Shabbos by the Kohanim who used to be on duty at that Shabbos. On Shavuos we hand out to the Kohanim a piece of matzah, which is the Lechem Aponim, and a piece of challah, which is the Shavuos bread. Which do we hand out first? It's a value statement. Shabbos. That's going to be the... Why does everybody say Shabbos?
Because it comes more often than Shavuos.
Because it comes... Good. You see, you're so good. There's it. You know that Shabbos comes first, and that's the rule. And that's what the Mishnah says, in this, which we'll see in a moment. The second case is... Do you say Shechianu or Leishev Basukah first? Two different brochas, which one comes first? You can't say them both together. And the third case we're going to look at is, do you say Borei Pri HaGofen or Kiddush first? Now, Art Scroll has already decided that for you. And so have the Sidurim long before Art Scroll. But let's go before that. We want to think freely. We don't want our thinking to be limited by the Siddur. Is it proper to say Borei Pri HaGofen first and then Kiddush? Or to say Kiddush and then Borei Pri HaGofen? Those are the three rules we're going to be playing with and looking at the relationships between them. So the first one is in our Mishnah on Nun Hei Amud Beis. If you look at the bottom of Nun Hei Amud Beis, the third line of the Mishnah. So you'll see it says Mishnah about 7 or 8 lines from the bottom of the page. And then it says, I have it one page earlier. Here we are. So in the Mishnah, well, yes, you've got the Mishnah. Can you see the Mishnah? About 7 or 8 lines from the bottom. Yes, we're going to be in Nun Vav. We're getting there. And in the third line of the mitzvah of the Mishnah, it says, or this end of the second line, "Uvechiluk lechem haponim ba'atzeres." Let's just learn the whole Mishnah. "B'shloisha perokim bashono, hayu kol mishmores shavus." 3 times of the year. That's Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, all the Mishmoros served equally. All the Mishmoros served equally in the Beis HaMikdash. A Mishmar was a shift. The Kohanim were divided into 24 shifts after the time of the time of David HaMelech, I think it was introduced into 24 shifts. And they used to take turns, they used to rotate. They used to work for a week at a time. But on Yom Tov, they all worked in the Beis HaMikdash, and they all had equal rights. Be'emurei haragolim. So when it came, for example, to dishing out those parts of the korban, of the sacrifices of Yom Tov, that the Kohanim could eat, they all ate. It wasn't just the particular shift that happened to be on duty at that time. Everybody participated. Uvechiluk lechem haponim ba'atzeres. And when it comes to dishing out, handing out the Lechem Haponim on Shavuos. Now, was Lechem Haponim a Shavuos Avoida or an everyday Avoida? It wasn't everyday. Lechem Haponim was every week. Still it says, handing out the Lechem Haponim Ba'atzeres on Shavuos, Oimeloi Heilech Matzah Heilech Chometz. We say to him, here's your Matzah, here's your Chometz. So which do we give him first? Matzah first, which is which? Which is the Lechem Aponim, the regular one, as Mr. Wilson says, the more frequent one. Give him the matzah first, and then the Shavuos bread. Right, now we move to Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Batseris Oyma Eloya Helach. This is about 7 or 8 lines on the top of the page. So the Gemara is going to go into an analysis of Batseris Oyma Eloya Helach. Matzo Helach Chometz. Itmer, we learnt. So here comes the second rule. The first rule is Chometz and Matzah on Shavuos. The Lecha Aponim and the Shtei Lechem that we give out to the Kohanim on Shavuos. That's the first case. Second case, Rav Omar Sukkah V'Achakach Zman. Rav says first Leishev Batsukkah and then Shechianu. Rav Barbachana Omar Zman V'Achakach Sukkah. Rav Barbachana says first Shechianu and then Leishev Batsukkah. So here's our machlokes, our two views with respect to Shechianu Leishev Batsukkah, the second case. Why? So the Gemara is going to explain their reasoning. Rav Omar Sukkah V'Achakach Zman. Why does Rav put Leishev Batsukkah first? Chiyuva deyoymo adif. Okay, you need to try to remember these principles. The principle is chiyuva deyoymo adif. The obligation of the specific day comes first. That's the more important one. So it's this whole thing is about sukkah. Why are we here? It's sukkahs. Why are we sitting in the sukkah? It's sukkahs. Why are we saying Shechianu? It's sukkahs. So sukkahs is the main thing. Sukkahs makes it all happen. That's the chiyuva deyoma. That's the obligation of the day. That comes first. Leishev Basukkah comes first. Rabba Baba Chanom Azman V'Achakach Sukkah. Why? Tadir V'Shein V'Tadir Tadir Kodem. Because that's the more frequent one. So now we see a conflict of values. Do you value the more frequent or do you value the more special? Now this is a value thing. Now in our secular world, what do we value more?
Special.
The frequent is, who cares about the frequent? Who gets the aliyahs? The guests get the aliyahs. Who get the kibbutim? The guests get the kibbutim. Somebody who comes around to, sorry?
That's not the secular.
There's the secular. What do you think? That's how it is. The Rov who gives a shir every Shabbos, 25 people come, 30 people come, a guest lecturer comes, hundreds of people are there. What's more important? Where they're likely to learn more? They're likely to learn more from the continuous shir every week. That's where they're likely to grow and learn. But we are impressed by the spectacular, by the unusual. And we see there's a place for that in halacha. There's a conflict of values. What do you do? Which do you show more importance for? So on that there is a machloikis, Rabba Baba Chana and Rav. So you might look at this normally and say, this is a machloikis about brochus. Which brocha do you say first? No, this is not a machloikis about brochus. This is a machloikis about values. What do you value more and how do those values impact the laws of brochus? That's how one needs to learn. Leimo Rav, Rabba Baba Chana, Biflug to Dereshano Ebesilo Kamifligi. The Gemara is going to try and link this machloikis, this argument, to a third machlokes Beis Hillel and Reish Lakish, which leads us into our third case. So we've had case number one is Chometz Matzah on Shavuos. Case number two is, there is a machlokes there too, they're all machlokes. Case number two is Shechianu and Leishev Basukah. Case number three is Kiddush and Yayin. Borei Pri Hagafen or Kiddush, which comes first. And now the question we're going to be trying to link case number two either to case number one or to case number three. Again, case number one is Lechem Aponim and Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos. Case number two is Leishev Basukah and Borei Pri Hagafen. Case number three is Leishev Basukah and Shechianu. Case number three is Borei Pri Hagafen and Kiddush. We're going to first try and link case number two to case number three, and when that fails, we're going to fall back on linking it to case number one, and that's going to give us a problem. That's where we're going. Okay. And the two values are tadir or chovas hayor. Okay, chovas hayor. The Tanu Rabbon, we learned in the brass. What did we learn? Dvorim shebein be shamayu ve silu bisuuda. There are various differences in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in matters relating to a meal. Beis Shammai omrim mevorechim. One of them is Beis Shammai omrim mevorech al hayom v'achakach mevorech al hayayin. Beis Shammai says first kiddush, then yayin. Mevorech al hayom means kiddush, the brocha for the day. That's kiddush. So you make a brocha on time. That's also something very interesting about the halacha about Torah. We make a brocha on objects, and we make a brocha on time. That's again, the time is a dimension. Time is a thing. You can. Time has a measurement to it. Time is an object that we relate to as an object. We make a bracha on time, and kiddush is one of those brachas. And Beis Hillel says no, first yayin and then kiddush. Let's analyze this before we try linkages. Let's analyze Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai omrim mevorech al hayoyim v'achar kach mevorech al hayayin. Beis Shammai says we make a bracha first kiddush and then yayin. Why? Shehayoyim gerim layayin sheyovah. Why is there wine on the table? Because it's Shabbos. So first comes Shabbos. So he's chavas hayoyim. Look at the day first. Look at what drives the whole thing. Uchvar kiddush hayoyim v'adayin yayin loybo. And furthermore, it's already Shabbos. Shabbos before the wine is even on the table. As soon as the sun goes down at Shabbos. You don't need wine to make it Shabbos. The moment the sun goes down at Shabbos, so it's the Chovas Hayoim, it happens first, the order is Shabbos first, therefore that's the way to do it. And Beis Hillel says the other way around. First Borei Priyagofen and then Kiddush. Why? Shehayayin Gorim L'Kiddush Yeterem, and you can't say Kiddush without wine. So the wine is key. And the whole without wine, there's no kiddush. If you were making kiddush from challah, then that same would apply to challah. But you need food. You need basically your course. Without your course, there's no kiddush. So Beis Hillel looks at the micro situation and says the wine is the cause and the kiddush is the effect. The Beis Shammai looks at the macro and says Shabbos is the cause and kiddush is the effect. So it's like circles. You've got wine, kiddush, Shabbos. Or rather, Kiddush, wine, Shabbos. The Shammai looks at the whole circle, says it all starts with Shabbos. Because of Shabbos, you make Kiddush. Now that you're making Kiddush, you need a glass of wine. Beis Hillel says it all starts with the wine. Without the wine, you can't even start your Kiddush. So he looks at it from a micro perspective. Dover Acher, furthermore, Birkas Hayayin Tadiru, Birkas Hayayim Ena Tadiru, Tadir Vishena Tadir, Tadir Kodim. There's also an issue of tadir, that wine comes first because it's more frequent. But if we have often, we say more often than we say kiddush for Shabbos. Lema, now the linkage. Let us suggest that Rav d'omar kevei Shammai, Rabba Baba Chana d'omar kevei Sila. Let us suggest that Rav holds like Beis Shammai. Rav who says that you make sukkah and then shechionu, holds like Beis Shammai who says you make Kiddush and then Borei Pri Hagafen, and Rabba Baba Chana who says you make Shechionu and then Kiddush holds like Beis Hillel, like Shechionu and then Leishev holds like Beis Hillel that says you make Yayin first and then Kiddush. The importance of this is who do we paskin like on Shabbos? Beis Hillel, which would mean that as far as Sukkah is concerned, what would the din then be? That we would say Shechionu before Leishev, which is not what Art Scroll says. But that's how the halacha would come out if this is the way we would go. So if we stop here, that's the linkage. That would be the linkage, and there would have to be consistency in our halacha. Now, Omar Lacho, so the Gemara now de-links case 2 from case 3. It looks as if they're connected, but they're different. Omar Lacho Rav, Rav could say to you, what I said has nothing to do with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. I could well hold like Beis Hillel on Shabbos and still hold like I do on Sukkot. I'm not linked to Beis Shammai. Why not? At kan lo kamri Beis Hillel hosom. The reason that Beis Hillel made his case there is elo shehayayin gorim likiddush shetiyama, is because without wine there's no kiddush. That's the main thrust of Beis Hillel's argument. Aval hocha, he loves man. Mi lo yamrin en sukkah. But here, if we didn't say shechiyonah because we'd already said shechiyonah, or because there wasn't an obligation to say shechiyonah for whatever reason, you would still say leishev basukkah. So the relationship between the two brachas is different. The relationship between leishev and shechiyonah is not the same as the relationship between Borei Pri Hagafen and kiddush. Rabba Baba Chana says, and I could say, even according to Beis Shammai, I'm not linked to Beit Hillel. Adkan lo amri Beis Shammai. Where does Beis Shammai say that you've got to say kiddush and then Borei Pri Hagafen? Hosom there elashayon gerin layayim shiyove. because with Shabbos is what causes Kiddush. Without Shabbos, you don't need the wine. But here, if you don't build a sukkah, do you not say a shechiyonin? If you're traveling and you're potter from a sukkah, do you not say shechiyonin? Does a woman who's not chayiv the sukkah not say shechiyonin? Of course we do. So shechiyonin is not linked to sukkah. So in the same way. Because you're saying shechiyonin on the day. So we've now delinked case 2 from case 3. It looked like a link, and we've delinked it. Even though there's a tadir issue in both of them, tadir goes through all three cases. There's tadir in the case 1, there's tadir in case 2, there's tadir in case 3. But it is conceivable that we would use the tadir in case 3 and not in case 2. In fact, that's the halacha. That in case 3 with Shabbos and Borei Priya Gofen, we do make Borei Priya Gofen first. But with Leishev and Sheikh Yonah, we make Leishev first, not Sheikh Yonah. And that really is our question. We could have started the shiur with that question. If Tadir Vishena Tadir Kodim, as we in fact see with Kiddush and wine, why do we not say Sheikh Yonah before Leishev? That's the question. That's the halachic question we're dealing with in the sugya. The conceptual question is the value system that you express when you have to make a choice because you cannot speak simultaneously and to say two things simultaneously. So now the Gemara tries the link to link case 2 to case 1. Tonight we learned in our Mishnah, Ba'atzeres Omer Loi Helech Matzah Helech Chametz. On Shavuos, Atzeres is Shavuos. On Shavuos, we say to him, here's the lechem aponim, matzah, and here's the chometz, the shtei alechem. V'ahocha de chometz iker u'matzah tofel. Here, interestingly, he doesn't talk about tadir. He introduces a new idea. Matzah is, chometz is the iker, and matzah is the tofel. Why is chometz the iker? Because that's specific for Shavuos. So that's the Iker. So I understand the word Iker. I can get that. So this is what's special. But Tofel usually means that something is Tofel because it's kind of caused by the Iker. Like Iker and Tofel have a relationship with each other.
What's the translation of
Iker and Tofel? Iker and Tofel is principal and secondary. Primary and secondary. Yeah, but secondary means secondary to the primary. The Lechem Aponim is not secondary to the primary. It's separate from the primary. It has nothing to do with the primary. It comes every week. So the word tofel doesn't work. Tofel means tofel to something. So in the laws of brachas, for example, we talk about in cheesecake, is the cheese tofel to the mezonos, or is the mezonos tofel to the cheese? What is the ikka? What is the tofel? Because you make the bracha on the ikka. When you have a sandwich, which is the ikka, the bread, or is the ikka the sandwich, the filling? You make a bracha on the ikar. So it's the ikar and tofel is a relationship, a primary and secondary relationship to one another, and therefore I'm pointing out to you that on first glance, the word tofel is inappropriate here. Ikar we can still understand, but tofel is inappropriate. Lechem aponim is not tofel to the... So we'll come back to that. Just interesting to notice, different thing thrown in at us. Nevertheless, we see the ikar is the chometz, uktani helech matzah helech chometz. And what are we told? Matzah first. Yes, it's tadir, but after all, the chometz is the main thing. So who is that a problem for? If we're going to link case 2 to case 1, who is that a problem for?
We didn't do the matzah in case 1.
It will be a problem, not with Beit Hillel's, it's case 3. Case 2 is Rav, and Rav, and we haven't got a matzah here, still come.
Yeah, meaning that the wine is more...
So we've got Rav and Rabba Baba Chana, Sukkah and Leishev Basukkah. So why does Rav say Sukkah comes first? What's Rav's reasoning for that? Because it's the Iker, it's the Chayvas Hayom. In that case, what should happen on Shavuos and the Beis HaMikdash? The Lechem Aparim should come before the Lechem Apnim. Therefore, Tiyuv to the Rav, this is a shattering question on Rav. If we would have linked Rav and Rabba Baba Chana to case 3, then we wouldn't have worried about the Mishnah, because it would have revolved around the principle of Tadir. But since it doesn't revolve around the principle of Tadir, it revolves around the principle of Ika, we've got to look as to the Mishnah as our precedent. And the Mishnah says, you don't go by Ika. When Tadir and Ika are in conflict, you go after Tadir, not after Ika. So that's a problem for Rav. How can Rav disagree with the Mishnah? Omar l'Chorav, we nearly finished with this piece of Gemara. Omar l'Chorav, Rav could answer the Gemara, Tanoihi. The Mishnah is not the only authority on the subject. The Tanya, there's also a Brisa. Right? A Mishnah is that body of oral law of Torah Shebaal Peh that Rebbe included in the Shisha Sidorim of Mishnah. So there was a vast body of case study material. He chose the case studies that form the Mishnah. Everything else is called the Brisa. Brisa means outside of the Mishnah. But it's still very authoritative. There is a Brisa that goes beyond the Mishnah. The Brisa says, Helech Matzah, Helech Chometz. Is that the same as our Mishnah or different?
Same.
Abba Shoal Omer, Helech Chometz, Helech Matzah. And Abba Shoal says, other way around. Chometz, Matzah. So, Rabba Baba Chana goes like Abba Shoal. In other words, this very machloikis that we have on whether you say Shechionu or Leishev Batsukah first, that same machloikis exists on Shavuos as to whether you give the Kohen to eat from the Lechem Afonim first or from the Shtei HaLechem first. Dorash Rav Nachman Bach.
And we, the
Tosfos asks, hey, we go against the Stam Mishnah? He says, yeah, we go against the Stam Mishnah in this case. Rav Nachman Rav Chista loike divrei Rav do ma sukkah v'achar kach zman el azman v'achar kach sukkah. Rav Nachman paskind like Rabba Baba Chana for Rav Sheshes b'reid Rav Idi o ma sukkah v'achar kach zman, and Rav Sheshes b'reid Rav Idi paskind like Rav sukkah first, leisha first, and then zman v'hilchas es sukkah v'achar kach zman. And the halacha, the Gemara doesn't always resolve issues so clearly, but here it does. The halacha is leisha first and sukkah second. So what are we deciding about Tadir? In terms of the value system, what are we saying? What comes first? Ikur comes before frequency. So when there are two things that are of similar primacy, then you'll take the more frequent one. But if one is more primary in relationship than the other, then you don't. Now,
in this case, it would be primary because of the day rather than what comes more frequently. Is that what we're saying?
In this case, yes. So we're saying in the case of sukkah, that since the whole thing is all about sukkahs, the chayvus hayom is sukkah. So you'll say the leishev basukkah first, even though shechianu is tadir. In the Mishnah, the chayvus hayom is shavuos, so you'll give the kohen to eat from the chometz first, according to Rav. Rav would say, although Rav doesn't comment, but Rav would learn like Abba Shoal, that Chometz comes first and then Matzah. Our Mishnah holds you put Tadir first, and therefore our Mishnah would go like Rabba Baba Chana, that you would put Shechianu before Leishev. So that it's the same machlokes in two completely different areas of halacha. One is Lechem Aponim and Lechem and Shtei Alechem, and one is Leishev Besukah on Sukkahs. One is a Shavuos issue, one is a Sukkahs issue, one's in the Beis Hamikdash, and one's in the whole world. Do you want to ask something?
So, how does it, when I'm thinking about a Shabbat Dukhe, every holiday except Yom Kippur Dukhe Shabbat, so how does that fall into this?
Not because of Tadir, they're psukim and things like that. That's learned straight from the Torah.
Because it's the Kiddushat Ayon.
Yeah, those will be Kiddusha issues. The issue of Tadir is learned out in Masecht HaZvachim, from a posuk in Bamidbar, where the posuk says, and we say it in the Musaf often, Milvad Oilos HaBoker Asher Oilos HaTamid Ta'asu Yisraeli. Apart from the Oilos HaTamid, they brought a Korban Tamid every morning and every afternoon. In addition, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, they brought a Musaf. And the Torah says the Musaf comes apart from the Tamid, which you bring in any case. And the Gemara says, this milvad, this implication of that which you bring in any case implies, and that comes first. First the Talmid, and from there we should learn that anything which is Talmid, anything which is continuous, has a very special honor. Something which is regular, which is frequent, has a very special honor. It's much more important. There's a value attached to regularity. Regularity is valuable. It's an honor. It's an important thing. We place enormous importance on regularity, on something which is repeated on a regular basis. Now, I want to take this a step further and explore with you what is the conceptual connection between this law of Shechiyona and Leishev and the law of Sukkos, of Shavuos, with the Lechem Aponim and the Lechem and the Shtei HaLechem. And what is the Machlokes? Why does our Mishnah say that you say that Matzah comes before Chometz? Understand, it's Tadir Shehne Tadir. But what are they really arguing about? And here's what I want to suggest to you, and that is, let me read a Rambam to you about Shavuos. The Rambam says, "Umitzvas ase, it is a positive mitzvah, liyos kol hamishmoris shovin beregolim." Before this, the Rambam explains that Moshe Rabbeinu chilek hakohanim l'shmoneh mishmoris. Moshe Rabbeinu divided the kohanim into 8 shifts. Arbo me Elozor, 4 of them were Elozor's family, v'arbo me Itamar, and 4 of them were Itamar's family. We're 8 altogether. V'cheno yu ad Shmuel Anovi. Until the time of Shmuel, the Kohanim were divided into these eight categories. Uvimei Shmuel chilkom hu v'David HaMelech l'arbo v'esri mishma. And in the time of Shmuel and David HaMelech got together and they agreed that you now needed 24 shifts, and they divided them into 24 shifts. They broke each of the four, in each of the 8 into another 3, and they made 24 shifts altogether, which is the way it stays. And it's a mitzvah asay, says the Rambam, in the 4th perek of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Halacha Dalet. It's a mitzvah asay that all the mishmoros, all 24 shifts, shovim birigolim, are treated equally on Yom Tov. V'chol shiyova min ha-kohanim beregel v'rotza lavoid, any kohen who comes to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov and wants to serve, oved, he may serve. V'cholek imohem, and participates in the handouts and what they receive. He has an equal right. V'ein oimrim lo elechad shiagia mishmorcha. And we're not allowed to say to him, you go home and come back when it's your turn. On Yom Tov, it's everybody's turn. What does this apply? It doesn't apply by everything. There are some korbonos that have nothing to do with Yom Tov, and those still work according to the mishmoros. But the korbonos that have to do with Yom Tov, that they all have equal rights. Uvechiluk lechem aponig, uvechiluk shtei halechem shel atzeres. And in the dishing out of the lechem haponim, and the chometz of atzeres, aval nedarim and nedavos tamidim, but the korban tamid which comes every day, and anybody who brings their own voluntary korbanos, even on Yom Tov and makrivin el mishmar shezmona kavua, only the specific mishmar does it. Now I want to ask you, why is lechem haponim considered a Yom Tov avoda, and the korban tamid is not? Korban tamid is the korban that was brought every day. It was brought every day. It belongs to the mishmer who's on duty. It belongs to the particular shift who's on duty. The musaf and all that everybody shares in equally. Shtei alechem, the special Shavuos bread, everybody shares in equally. I understand that. It's Shavuos bread. But the lechem upon him is regular. Why does that get treated like a Yom Tov avoida and not like a chol avoida, like a regular avoida? Is the question here. And I would answer that there's certain things that when you do them in a different time space, they're different. So it's back to time being a dimension. So for example, We gave the example. You take a lulav on Sukkot, it's a lulav. That same object the next day or the previous day is a nothing. It's a palm branch. The object has changed because of a time change. You shake a lulav on Yom Tov, it's a mitzvah. You shake a lulav the day after Yom Tov, it's nothing. It's completely irrelevant from a halachic perspective. So an action changes its value, not only in terms of what you're doing and why you're doing it, but also when you're doing it. When you're doing it changes the value of the action. And we see it in life as well. It's not only in halacha. We see it in place. So, for example, if you walk into an Oscar ball in a swimming costume, it's not appropriate. If you walk onto the beach in a tuxedo, it's not appropriate. it's not appropriate. If it's appropriate there, why not? Appropriateness changes by place, and it changes by time. There's certain things you wear in the summer, certain things you wear in the winter, not only because they're warm or not warm. They're just appropriateness and the fittingness of things is governed by where you are and when you are, not just by what you're doing. And in halacha we see that a lot. The same action in a different space has different meaning. The same as certain, you eat a meal in a sukkah, it's a mitzvah. You eat the exact same meal 2 inches outside of the sukkah, and it's nothing. It's not on the contrary, you're doing something wrong. The space can affect it, can affect an action, and the time can affect that. You eat that meal in the sukkah on Yom Tov, and it's a mitzvah. You sit in the sukkah and eat it on an ordinary day, it's a nothing. Different time. When you bring the lechem aponim on Yom Tov, it's not the same lechem aponim as during the week, is what I'm suggesting to you. But what we learn from this halacha is that the routine, it's not part of the routine. Now, what implication does this have for our discussion as to which you give first to the Kohen? It's more?
What is more value?
Let's reason it through. If Lechem Haponim is the same Lechem Haponim we do every week, which is more Tadir? Lechem Haponim is more Tadir. If the Lechem Haponim we bring on Shavuos is a different one, it's part of the Shavuos Avoida, it's not the same thing, then which is more Tadir? Shavuos is more Tadir because it's infrequent that Shavuos falls on a Shabbos. It's more frequent that Shavuos doesn't, so the lechem upon him the shtei alechem is in fact the tadir. What I'm suggesting to you is in this halacha, what we get an insight into is the argument is not whether tadir is more important or chovas hayom is more important. What we're arguing about here is whether tadir, which is the tadir. And that depends on whether the action is the routine action of every week, or it's a unique action for this day. Now, let's take it a step further. What is that going to do with Shekhiyonu and Kiddush? The Shekhiyonu and Leishev?
Shekhiyonu, we say more often.
So Shekhiyonu, we say more often. But maybe the Shekhiyonu you say on Sukkot is a Sukkot Shekhiyonu. It's not the same Shekhiyonu that you say for Pesach. It's not the same Shekhiyonu, it's a Shekhiyonu for Sukkot. That it's not, you don't just go, it's not just defined by the words of the bracha. Look in the siddur, it's the same words you say here, the same words you say there, it's the same bracha. The chiddush is, it's not the same bracha. It's a sukkah shechion. Now, what's more tadir, a sukkah shechion or a leishev basukkah? Sukkah shechion, no, which is more tadir? Leishev basukkah is more tadir. Because you only say shechion once, or in our case twice. Leishev you say several times a day. So in that case it will come out that the argument is not about whether in a conflict between Chovas Hayom and Tadir, which one takes priority. No, they all agree Tadir takes priority. Jewish values, we give value to Tadir. The question is, what we learn from that Mishnah is that a routine thing done on a special occasion is not a routine thing. It takes on the flavor of that occasion. Why Korban Tomid is treated as separate, that's a bigger question. So why don't we say that Korban Tomid is also a Yom Tov action and the Kohanim should all share in Korban Tomid? So we'd have to say because of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Milvad, this is separate. Korban Tomid carries on as usual, this is separate, but it doesn't say that about Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim gets brought into the Shavuos Avodah. And in the same way, Shechionu gets brought into the meaning, to the whole Kiddush that we're saying, into the Yom Tov, and takes on the flavor of that particular day and is unique and different, even though it's the same as we have it in lots of cases. And we have it when in cooking, you can take an ingredient, you put it in one dish, even if it's a primary ingredient, and you take the same ingredient and you put it in another dish, the ingredient is different. It tastes different. When you create a compound, the components of the compound are no longer the same. Shechianah doesn't stay outside of Kiddush. Shechianah doesn't stay out of Sukkot. Shechianah gets woven into Sukkot. The korban aponim, the lechem aponim gets woven in. So what we learn over here from this Mishnah, by linking case 2, when we try to link case 2 to case 3, what we were suggesting was the linkage is in Tadir. Priyagafen
is more Tadir than Shabbat.
Depends, doesn't it, whether Priyagafen is a Birkas Hanenim. If it's just a Birkas Hanenim or whatever, then you say it many times, but if the Bore Priyagafen in Kiddush is unique, this is Shabbos Bore Priyagafen, it's also different. Could be the argument. But there are other reasons why, as Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argue, there can be other reasons, and that's why we didn't link case 2 to case 3. Because there are a whole lot of other reasons, with the whole where Shabbos comes in and its relationship to it. But so our original thing was just to look at it in terms of Tadir and to link case 2 to case 3. We found we couldn't link case 2 to case 3, we linked case 2 to case 1. But case 2 had no similarity to case 1. What do we learn from case 1? What is the connection between the Lechem Aponim and the Shtei Alechem of Shavuos with the din of Leishev, Pasuk, and Shechionu on Sukkos? What's the connection? What I've suggested to you is we learn an amazing Chiddush in this Rambam and in the Gemara's that deal with this. The Chiddush is Lechem Aponim becomes part of the Avoida of Shavuos. When Shavuos falls on a Shabbos, Lechem Aponim becomes part of the Avoida of Shavuos. It's different from all the other Lechem Aponims of the year because it's on Shavuos. In the same way, Shechionu on Sukkos is different from all the other Shechionas, and that impacts the measurement of Tadir. It's no longer Tadir, it becomes very unique and special. One of the areas we'll see, you see this for example, why do we say Vayechulu after the Shemona Esra on Shabbos, Friday night? We've already said it in the Shemona Esra. The Gemara says you've got to say Vayechulu on the davening. Fine, we've already said it.
No,
that doesn't seem to. The Gemara says the reason is because on Yom Tov you don't say it in the Shemona Esra.
Right.
So on Yom Tov, and the din is you've got to say Vayechulu. So you say it after the Shemona Esra. Once you do it on Yom Tov, you do it on Shabbos as well. So it's not to make a difference. But why isn't this? Why don't we just put Vayechulu into the Yom Tov Shemona Esra? If it's so important to say Vayechulu, we're used to adding things in. Put Vayechulu into the Yom Tov night when it falls on Shabbos. Put Vayechulu into the Shemona Esra. But you see, it's different. You can't. These things don't just Vayechulu remains separate. It's a Shabbos thing. It doesn't get swallowed in to Yom Tov. Yes, when we say Kiddush at home, we say Vayechulu and so on. But there are many cases in Halacha, and these two are the primary cases that we're dealing with anyway, where what we see is when you do something routine on a special day, it's not a routine. It's not part of that routine. It takes on the specialness of that day. And that's a sense of occasion that we have to learn to be able to appreciate that when it comes to Shabbos. That even when we do things on Shabbos that we do during the week, then we've got to try and do things on Shabbos that we don't do during the week, and things that we do during the week, sometimes much of it we don't do on Shabbos. But there's some things that we do during the week and we do on Shabbos as well. Such a thing as doing it differently. So we set it to be lay the table differently, we set the table differently, put a different tablecloth on. We do things differently. It's still dinner. It's not dinner. It's Shabbos dinner. It's different. You do the same thing in a different time space. The thing takes on the flavor of the time. That's the Chovas Hayom. And the Chovas Hayom is meant to flavor the routine. Don't allow the routine to adulterate the moment. Let the moment add flavor to the routine. And then the routine also becomes beautiful. And we find that in the calendar, and we find that in Halacha. Okay, I'll leave it there.